I've been taking up all of his time, so I'm sorry. And I'll try to go through the prayer request this morning as quickly as I can. Let me tell you before we start the prayer requests and things, tonight we're going to have Graham Foran here, and he's going to be preaching for us, so Graham's going to have a lot to tell us. Hope you can come and be with us in that. Also, on Saturday, this coming Saturday, we'll have a quilting circle with Miss Bobby Briggs and them back there in the Family Life Center. So if you're part of that or would be interested in being a part of that, please check with her. Okay, now I've talked to two or three people around this morning, and let's see, Ron and Wanda Huskins, you know, they've been out, we've missed them now for about a year. They've had all kinds of issues and problems. Ron went here a few days ago, and I don't mean a few days ago, it's been back toward the first of the year. And he had a stent put in. Miss Wanda is still having problems with her hip replacement and everything. So they're still undergoing all of that. So y'all keep Ron and Wanda Huskins in your prayers. Also, the Lasleys, we're still praying for Preacher and Miss Lasley. Not a lot of change there. Preacher's about the same. He has good days and bad days, and of course, just keep them in your prayers. We're still praying for Roger Cox. He's doing some tests and so forth, and just pray that God will touch him, have his way there. And also Harold Baskett, Darren and Bobby, talked to him and saw him on Thursday, and he's going to have some further treatments, and right now he's still feeding himself through a tube, so he's not able to swallow. So y'all pray for Harold. It's a pretty serious thing when you can't swallow. You can't get food down and all that, so let's pray that God will have the doctors give them wisdom and do what they can to help him. Today, we want to offer condolences to Joe Belcher and family for the passing of Jeff, his father. And there will be a memorial service here at church today at 2 o'clock p.m. for him. So I don't know Jeff, I don't know Joe, but if you did and you want to be a part of that service today, it'll be at 2 p.m. here in the auditorium. Also condolences to Joy Green, whose father passed away February the 4th, and we're praying for that family. Let's see. We're always praying for our shut-ins and our cancer ministry. I notice Phil Deakins is not here this morning. I guess Debbie's had another slow week. And, you know, just all of these others on there, we've been praying for them. Just keep them in your prayers. And has anyone got a specific prayer request that you'd like to say this morning? Brother Joe. Okay. Okay, Pat Shaw is going to have cataract surgery, and that's going to be on what date, Joe? Okay, February the 24th, and then the other one on March 4th, okay? So y'all remember Pat. She's had to go through so much. And we just praise the Lord for. Okay, I announced to you the outdoor night with the Shearers are going to be here on March the 1st. Of course, you've seen that advertised. It's out in the foyer. It's up here on the announcements and things. So if you'd like to attend that, it's very interesting. Last time they were here with us, we really had a good time. I guess just found out a lot of interesting things about outdoors and things that I didn't know. So remember that on March the 1st. And be sure and read the center page now in your bulletin there that's got all the upcoming events. There will be something on there that may affect you there. We don't have any birthdays or anniversaries this week. And we do have a couple visitors, though. Mr. and Mrs. David Lawson is here with us again today. And, of course, they're Francis's son and daughter-in-law, and they get down this way from up in Illinois every once in a while, and so we're glad to have them. And they'll be going back to Illinois sometime this week, so you pray for them. Pray that they'll have a good, safe trip. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll let Brother Philip come and teach us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. And God, we just thank you for the blessings on our life. And Father, as we come this morning, we think about these folks that are having health issues. And Lord, some of them, Lord, have not been able to be here for a few days. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with them, put your hand upon them, God, and Lord, give them peace and comfort, and pray that you'll bless those, Lord, that are going to have procedures and things like that. Lord, they just need your help. They need your presence with them, Lord. And God, bless the doctors that are going to do these things. Father, we do pray for the Lastleys. We pray, dear God, for Miss Pat Shaw, and Lord, we pray for one and Ron and Wanda Huskins and Harold Basket, Lord, just all of these. And we got some folks that are not here this morning. We pray for them. Lord, we don't know what situation is, but you do. And God, I pray you'll touch them and lift them up and bring them back to us next Sunday, Lord. God, thank you for loving us. I do pray for Brother Philip this morning. I pray that you will give him the words you'd have him give to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen him and Patty's. They've been under the weather. I hope that they get their strength back soon. Lord, I do pray for our pastor this morning. I pray you'll help him. God, somebody here today that may not know you as Lord, God, I bring them to you today. Pray that you'll work in their hearts, that they may come to know you today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
I do have more energy today than I did last week, and I'm very grateful. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. And let me get there real quick. In verse 18, we talked last week about counsel. Was it last week? I guess it was. About counsel and the importance of it. And now he counsels us to buy of me gold. There are many precious things found in Scripture to describe or to compare wonderful things to. The worth of a virtuous woman in Proverbs is said to be more precious than rubies. When Moses and Nadab and Abihu ascended, and the elders ascended up to the mount there to see God, it says that Under his feet, it was, as it were, the work of a sapphire stone. Many precious things in the Bible, and they are very descriptive. But of them all, gold. In the economy of Scripture, gold is the most valued and the most precious. It says of Abraham in Hebrews 11 that he looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder, which hath foundations and whose builder and maker is God. You and I have been looking for that same city, amen? We, all of our life long, since we got saved, have been going towards that city. It is our home, and the Bible says of that city, and the building of the wall is of jasper, and the city was what? Pure gold. Pure gold, a golden city. As a matter of fact, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, there's some other precious things. Every civil gate was of one pearl. I do not even know how that can be. And the street of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. Job, in the very midst of all his trials, Job chapter 23. So we know that all of his trials began sometime around chapter 1 or 2 and continued all the way. And so right here in the middle of his trials, he makes this incredible statement of faith. But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. What? I shall come forth as what? Gold. He couldn't think of anything more precious than that. When David is describing the unbelievable value of the fear of the Lord and of his judgments, he says in verse 10, "More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb." In Psalm 45, describing our Savior, it says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces." You know, we have a song about that. We don't sing it so much anymore, but I can remember when we were young in the Lord. And it's in our songbook, Ivory Palaces. My Savior has garments so wondrous fair. With myrrh, their texture. Somebody took that right out of this passage. With myrrh, their texture fills. Their fragrance reached to this heart of mine. With joy, my being fills. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe. Only his great eternal love made my Savior go. Aren't those beautiful words? Absolutely beautiful. By the way, in Proverbs, Solomon says this, "A word fitly spoken is like what? Apples of gold in pictures of silver." Sometimes I wonder if that's not describing the music that you and I sing. Somebody put these beautiful words down on paper. Most of them are just poems, amen? Words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I wonder if that's not the music with which somebody said all these beautiful words to. Who knows? Amen? If I were to say to you, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin," would I have told you the truth? But what if I said, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Isn't that beautiful? Somebody put that doctrine and fitly spelled. I think that God is well pleased with such words, don't you? For people to take the doctrines of Scripture and to put them to verse and make them even more precious than just the bare bones of the truth itself. And we love the truth itself. Amen. But somebody said, this moves me amazingly. It's like that that song we sing, could we with ink the ocean fill? Were every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. What beautiful words, words fitly spoken. And how does he compare them? To apples of gold. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Gold is one of the only things that's going to abide the judgment seat of Christ. These three things are mentioned: gold, silver, and precious stones. Brother Rick, could you put that first slide up there, please? The tabernacle in the wilderness where God dwelt had two compartments. Now, here's the tabernacle itself. I pulled this out of a book I have, an artist's conception of it. We have the outer court there where the brazen altar is, and the brazen laver. We're moving from east to west. And as we enter that tent, that is where God dwells, correct? Everything, you can go to the next slide, please. Everything in that tent is what? Gold. Either pure gold or shittim wood overlaid with gold. Now, as we walk into that tent, immediately to our left is that golden candlestick. It is the only light in there, by the way. It would be pitch dark in there without that candlestick. And there are a couple of things that are remarkable about that candlestick. One of them, it's pure gold. The other is that it's the only light in there. And the number 7. 7 is the number of what? Perfection. And it is perfect light. But there's another thing about that candlestick. You'll read it in Exodus. I won't go there to read it to you. But it says this, and you'll remember this. It says it is made of what? Beaten gold. That's amazing, isn't it? Not molten. Beaten gold. Every part of it. The knops, the branches, everything. Folks, there is no light coming forth to this world except from a smitten Savior. Our Savior had to be smitten of God to bear that light to this dark world. Do you remember in the passage of the children of Israel through the wilderness, he brought them to, I think it was Mount Sinai, but there in that vicinity, they needed water. And what did he tell Moses to do? He told him to smite the rock. And out of the smitten rock would come what? Water. Now, the next time they needed water, what did God tell him to do? Told him to speak to the rock. Why? Because our Savior only had to be smitten one time. After he was crucified, one time. And by the way, this is why Moses lost his ticket to the promised land, because he broke an important type. And God is very jealous of his types. The Savior, this rock, only needs to be smitten one time. After that, what do we do to get water from the rock? We pray, amen? We speak to it. We ask it. And Moses broke that type and smote it twice. So we see there on the left this beaten light, and out from it is cast the only light that is in that that dark place. And over to the right, we have what? The table of showbread. And what is that table of showbread made of? Shittim wood overlaid with gold. What does this tell us, by the way? This is the joining of our Savior's humanity to his divinity. But all you see is the divinity, amen? But we have here wood overlaid with gold. Right in front of us is that altar of incense. By the way, it also is shittim wood overlaid with gold. And on it is incense. And by the way, where did the fire come for that incense? Do you remember? The fire for that incense had to come from that altar that was out in the courtyard. And by the way, the strange fire of Nadab and Abihu, they were judged because their fire did not come from that altar. That altar of incense was to be kept burning perpetually. And it says the smoke of that incense was to rise up before that veil perpetually. And this is a type of what? You're in my Savior, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. Our great Savior. Before that veil, ever living to make intercession for us. But inside that veil is a box. That box, by the way, is also made of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. What was in that box? The tables of testimony, correct? Two immutable stone blocks that contained the law. But what was over that box? The mercy seat. And folks, this is a type of our Savior that we find in John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Folks, in that inner holy of holies is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who embodies both truth and grace. Praise the Lord, he does. Amen? Amen. Not just the law, but the law, and on top of that law is a mercy seat. And those two together fitly exemplify our wonderful Savior, who was full of grace and truth. Now, everything in there is gold or shittim wood overlaid with gold. But that's all you see. It is that metal, that substance, that precious thing that is so associated with the divine. You don't see it here, but I will share it with you. The tabernacle's foundation. Now we know, I'll try to describe this to you. There were boards, right? Set up to give this tent substance along both sides and on the back. And it says that those boards had, what did they call them? Two knobs. And those knobs, let's see if I can find it here. When thou makest, that's not it. Oh, I didn't do it, but it's okay. We know that those boards had under them, they called them tenons. I think it was called tenons. Or there were two knobs, and each one of those knobs or tenons fit into a socket. Now, do you know what that socket was made of? Silver. The very foundation of this house rests everywhere it touches that ground. As a matter of fact, the curtains are hanging on silver cords. But the foundation of that house, what this house rests on, is silver. Now, it's very interesting where this silver came from. It says, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then they shall give every man a ransom. That word ransom is the same word for redemption. This was the redemption money. Every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This shall they give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel of 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, isn't that amazing? And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 25, and the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,773 shekels, the shekel of the sanctuary, a bekah for every man, I have no idea, that is half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary for everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 603,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of 100 talents for a socket. This tent, this dwelling of God, in which is nothing but gold, rests on redemption money. Think about that now, because we just came from what will abide the fire: gold, silver, and precious stones. Could you give me the next one, brother? Here is Aaron the priest. What do you see on his shoulders and on his breastplate? Precious stones. Exodus 28. And they shall make the ephod of gold, and of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. And it shall have 2 shoulder pieces thereof, joined at the 2 edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the cuirass girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, and of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take 2 onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, 6 on each side, 6 of the names on the one stone, and the other 6 names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. with a work of an engraver. If we drop down to verse 15, it says, "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with the cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, of fine twined linen, and thou shalt make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span there shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stone, even four rows of stones, the first row," and you can go on and on and on, "diamonds, topaz, carbuncle, sapphire, and the fourth row, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. And if we go all the way down to verse 29 in this chapter 28, he says this, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel on the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial continually." Now, I read past a lot of verses, but it said also that these names that he bore here, he would bear on his shoulders. Now, these two were connected by a gold fillet. The bearing of God's people before the Lord. Are you getting this now? He would bear them on his shoulders, and he would bear them on his heart. Gold, silver, precious stones. This is what's going to abide the fire of judgment, folks. Let me show you one of my favorite verses in Malachi chapter 3 to give you yet a little more support for this. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." Don't you love that? "They that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him." Think of that now. "For them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine." Who? "These ones who gather together to think upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up" what? "My jewels." Folks, God's people are his jewels. And he's going to make up those jewels one day. And what does he say about them? "And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." I'm here to tell you this, dear people. Gold is a godly life that will abide the fire of the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know what else will abide the fire? You people who have involved yourself in reaching the lost for Christ. Redemption, the bringing of souls to Christ. Don't you think that's going to abide the fire? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But there's something else as well. Precious stones. There is a kind of people in this church that have dedicated themselves to the people of God. They're not just sitting in a pew somewhere. They just don't come and go. These people really do care for God's people. They bear them on their shoulders. When they hear about their sicknesses, it's a burden to them. Amen? "Bear ye one another's burdens. Weep with those that do weep." What is that? They are bearing them on their heart before the throne of grace. There is a kind of people in here that so care about the people of God that they bear them on their shoulders and on their heart. And I tell you what, folks, one of these days, God's going to make up those jewels and he's going to have rewards for you that will abide the fire. Amen? We don't just come to church. We just don't show up and leave. Folks, it means something to some people in here. They're concerned about the people in here. They love the people of God. So, what's left? How come my time leaves me so fast? What's left? If you don't have gold, silver, and precious stones, all you have is wood, hay, and stubble. What is this? Folks, if you're not trying to live a godly life, what you are is what's found in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You're just going through the motions. It really doesn't mean anything to you. You've come to church, you did your thing, right? But there's a kind of people that, man, when they come, what they want is something that will help them live a godly life in this ungodly world. Wood, hay. What is hay? A Christian life devoid of gospel witness. Folks, if you're not involved in it, now, I'm forgiving to missions. Believe me, I am. But that ought to be an extension of your own personal witness. If it's not, what is it? Are we just buying God off? Because we don't want to go or we don't want to give a witness? No, it ought to be an extension of our own personal witness, our own involvement in the redemption of this lost world. Gold, silver. If not, it's just wood, hay, and what? Stubble. What is stubble, folks? It's a life lived for yourself and not God's people. How do we do this, by the way? If you would, I am going to finish this today. This gold. Look with me in 2 Peter. Because God tells us to buy gold, correct? This godly life. Now, I've gone all the way to gold, silver, and precious stone, but we're back to gold. And we're talking about a divine life, right? We're talking about the divine nature, because that's what we want, isn't it? That's what God wants for us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Yes. Yes. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, what's far off. That city, amen? Heaven, our Savior. I mean, what we're headed to, he cannot see far off. What is he seeing? This world, his life, his comfort. He cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So how do we get this divine nature? There are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Folks, you and I should be seeking these things, amen? Because there's coming a day when you and I will have to stand before that judgment seat of Christ, and what's going to abide is this gold, this silver, and these precious stones. Let us love one another, amen? Let us bear each other on our hearts, on our shoulders. Let us try our best to seek the lost. There's still time. And let you and I find these precious promises and get that divine nature, because I guarantee you, it will abide the fire. Father, thank you for these people. I love them so. What a great, wonderful group of people. We're so grateful for your precious word, for all these wonderful truths about the tabernacle. There's so much more to see. God, I pray that you will lead us and guide us into wonderful truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.